noting that our chairman is stuck in traffic and will be here momentarily, and it's 7:45. We're going to start the meeting and let him come in as ordered. So we're going to call the meeting to order. First of all, approval of the minutes.
Move approval. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any kind of comments from the general public on non-agenda items?
No, I was declining.
Yeah. No, no item.
I'll make one point.
Yes.
McGuire has legislation, which you might be aware of, that in effect puts NCRA out of business and turns the whole thing into two parcel. North would go to a new agency created up in Eureka, and south would go to another agency. The original legislation piece draft said SMART, and then it was quickly changed after that. And I think it's something that we might want to get interested in and get involved in, because McGuire is really interested in pushing this legislation through. It's going to take some money, so that's a question, because it talks about paying off all the debts of NCRA, et cetera. But I think it could have a major impact on SMART and what we do, because if the original legislation was SMART goes through, then SMARTs could be operating freight also through a contractor, but they would operate it. So NCRA would go out of business, and another agency would take over to Windsor, at least, from Lombard. So it's an interesting piece. I meant to bring up the bill this morning. I didn't. I think it's SB 1508. Just look at McGuire's, let's say, the package, and it'll be in there. It might have been revised again this week. I'm not sure whether it's in print or not. But it's something that's going to have an impact on expenditures and everything else. So it's something that we ought to, I think, acquaint ourselves with and help SMART get acquainted with it. And I say this because I'm on the NCRA board. So it's we're keeping track of that. Our meeting next week's been canceled because of the death of somebody, but it's moving ahead in the legislature.
If I could ask, has SMART been consulted about that by McGuire or anybody? I mean, if there's anything that's public that can be said, I mean, does SMART want to do that? Take that over?
You know, we're aware of the legislation, and I know that McGuire, you know, is doing research and trying to figure out what to do, so we've talked to him, but other than that, you know, the board hasn't taken any position. There hasn't been anything.
The strength of the legislation is probably a lot in the north, trails with rails, rail banking, etc. I think the movement on our NCRA board comes from the trails folks and who want the bicycle trails. And that's, I think, a prime mover, at least from the point of view of McGuire. So I think McGuire is really pushing it. I don't want to say personally, but he really believes in it.
So noted that our chairman has now been able to arrive from his lengthy trip, and we're just moving now to I'll turn the gavel. Yeah, I'll turn the gavel over to you. But we're now up to the capital projects report. So why don't we start with that and go from there.
Okay, so I've got sort of two sections to talk about today. We'll give you an update on the Larkspur Extension project. We are now well into construction. And then I've got a lot of photos to show you about four pathway segments that we wrapped up construction just a couple weeks ago. We started in the fall and took advantage of the mild winter and worked through the winter. So as a reminder, kind of the key elements of the Larkspur Extension project, we've got the station at the south end. We capitalize on the Cal Park Tunnel that was rebuilt by SMART and Marin County back in 2010. Anderson Drive's always been a significant component. We're doing what we call the Francisco Flip, where we trade places with the City of Santa Fe, Francisco Boulevard, and the railroad alignment. We rehabilitating or replacing as part of the work. Graphically, what this looks like is the transit center between 2nd and 3rd Streets in Santa Fe, the flip between 2nd and Rice, basically, Anderson Drive, and then the station down at the south end. Quick graphic of the station. We've carved out about 30 parking places, really squeezed as much as we can out of that bench up above the Larkspur Theater over there, just below the 101 on-ramp. We worked very closely with Marin County and TAM to coordinate the bike path piece, the new Sir Francis Drake pedestrian bridge, so that the interface there is really going to work out nice. It's going to provide access from three points down by the theater, coming from the tunnel, and then from Sir Francis Drake as well for the pedestrians and cyclists. So into some photos, here's some pile driving last fall. This was, we did a lot of pile work and creek-related work in the fall up to November 1st to take advantage of our in-water work window, and we just barely got that done. Driving piles, sheet piles down by Santa Fe Creek, you can kind of see the Bettini Transit Center in the background. We started work on Anderson Drive and Force on February 26th. We've shut down that intersection for about a two-month period. Of course, just as we did that, then finally the rains came this year, so we've been a little bit delayed there. We discovered with the city of Force a storm drain that needed to be replaced, so we had to add work, and then it made it difficult to replace the storm drain while it was raining. So all those factors have slowed us down a little bit. It's actually coming along pretty well. A little bit of track removal between Rice and Anderson Drive, getting rid of the old, getting ready for the new. Another shot of some taking the old rail apart, also same location. This is down in Larkspur. This is the formwork and the rebar for the station, for the platform itself, which was poured last week. A little bit of retaining wall there. Also down by the station in the background, you can see the existing pathway. So we're building a retaining wall there to support the train as it comes into the station between the pathway and the platform itself. All of our rail came in January. We stacked it neatly in the alignment and then moved into rail welding. So we had a specialty subcontractor come in. They do what's called flash butt welding, and they literally fuse the 80-foot strings of rail together into approximately 1,200-foot strings of rail. We closed Anderson Drive when we did that during the day, so we can pull those strings back and forth and stage them appropriately for the rail construction. Flash butt welding. It's going on right there.
Wow.
A few sparks, but that's a customer see. I mean, they basically put a huge electrical charge in the rail and it fuses it together. I said I'd talk only about Larkspur. I slipped in this slide of the Healdsburg roundabout construction. This is the project the city of Healdsburg's been doing for the past
five years.
Construction has drawn out a long time. They just did the rail construction last month, so we've been keeping tabs on the actual construction. It's a nice piece that gets done for us, so it's ready when we get up there. So moving into pathways, there were four segments.
Can
I think we touched
on the Larkspur station.
Sure.
If you don't mind. I walked that not too long ago. It's at least a half an hour for me, an older person, to walk from the train to the ferry. Is there a last mile plan? Is it going to be Golden Gate Transit, Golden Gate Bridge District, SMART, or whose responsibility will it be so people don't have to walk in the rain for a quarter of a mile? Is there any thoughts
on
that?
We haven't gotten into that level of discussion with Golden Gate or anybody. I mean, at the moment, I don't think we have a plan to shuttle people from the station.
Because, I mean, the distance is indeed there. The ferry's not going to come
further.
Yeah, so.
True. But, I mean, you've got people that have been parking up there for years that walk over
to
the ferry as well.
I know. There's been a lot of people who park in the parking lot. So, I mean, it's going to present a problem of golf carts or something to move people, especially in inclement weather. So
yes.
Just something I think we should be aware of.
It's not something we have a plan for today.
No,
to say something could materialize.
Yeah, okay.
There will be an ADA issue if we don't have something to take care of wheelchairs and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Well, everything we're building is fully ADA compliant.
No, no, from there to
and
there,
and
though,
slopes.
Wheelchair access.
So shifting gears and looking at the pathway segments, I think I touched on these in December when we met. We had four key segments that are mostly all pathway or station connections that we were working on in December. Santa Fe from San Pedro Road up to Civic Center Station, Novato, from basically the 101 overpass there. Franklin kind of makes a connection to an existing pathway down by the hospital up to Grant Street, also to what will be the downtown station for Novato. And then Rush Creek to the North Novato station. That's a critical piece because there really was no path of travel getting up that way. So it's great to see that one coming together. And then Katati, we partnered with Sonoma Mountain Village. They chipped in about $500,000 to extend the pathway in the smart right-of-way down to Sonoma Mountain Village, where it then cuts onto their property and is extended all the way down to East Railroad Avenue. So we're really starting to get a nice stretch built between Katati and Southern Santa Rosa, and then Northern Santa Rosa is in place. So we just have kind of a gap between Golf Course and Bellevue in Southern Santa Rosa. So that's really coming together nicely. This summer, fall, we plan to build a piece here in Petaluma. It's fully funded. We moved some money around to advance it into earlier years, and that's from South Point to Payroad. So goes across the upper reaches of the Petaluma River at Cinnabar, so it'll be a pedestrian bridge there, and also a nice connector to avoid a lot of the congestion in the Petaluma. So a few photos. This was the path we wrapped up, I guess, last fall, looking north towards Golf Course, looking south towards Runner Park Expressway. You can see the track to the right side of the photo. This was setting one of the prefabricated pedestrian bridges. A lot different than doing the railroad construction. These bridges go in quick and fast. I mean, they set two of them in the morning, I think, for this project. And then they come through and pour concrete down once they're in place. Again, looking north, that's the train sitting at the station there, so just south of the Katati station. And then this is the connection that gets into Sonoma Mountain Village and heads south to East Railroad Avenue. Here we are, rushing down towards Rush Creek. You can see the hotel down there by Redmond Boulevard. Basically from the hotel looking towards the freeway, the tracks on the right. And then from the Atherton North Novato station looking south as it leaves the station towards the freeway. Little tie-in connection there at Grant Street. This also was a great section of pathway that really made nice accessibility between downtown and towards the southern part of Novato. And then we're down at Santa Fe now. This is a section along Los Ranchitos to the left side of the photo. We avoided as many oak trees down there as we could. Lots of nice mature oak trees. You can see us winding around them. And then looking towards the one bridge we set on the Santa Fe segment. And then this is the connection at the Civic Center station, tied into the short piece of path we built that runs along the station as part of that one.
Can I ask a question about that section?
Yeah.
I've been on that. And to get up to, it's all gravel from there to get out onto the road. How come it wasn't paved? Just curious. I mean, I'm riding my bike underneath,
here,
past the Civic Station, past Civic Center Station, to get out to the North Gate. And to get to North Gate, to get to the actual road, you have to get off your bike and walk it over the gravel to get onto the road.
So just past this white line, because I think that's asphalt right there.
Closest to us?
Yeah.
No, it's gravel. If that's going, is that going under freeway to the station? Is
yeah.
that what that is right there?
Right so there. Right, this is heading to
toward the station.
To the station.
Yeah,
here,
so
here's
I,
the train
yeah.
at the station.
Yeah, so I've come under that, and I come to that point, and I want to get out to North Gate, and that's gravel. And so you have to get off the bike. Or, it's very odd. I mean, just and I thought, well, maybe that's not the place I'm supposed to go. So I kept going, and get to the other end, and there's all gravel. you actually can't get to the road without getting off your bike onto the station.
Are you sure it wasn't before we finished this work? Because there was an interim condition.
But I'm just curious. I'm not being critical. I'm just asking.
Yeah, I mean, just ultimately, we did work in our right of way. At one point, we had talked to the city about trying to kind of create a parking lot down here and some ADA parking and things, and that never materialized.
Right.
We tried to conform as best we could with what existed out there. Fair point. I do think the city has plans to eventually do a bike path from this point towards Northgate along
because there's a bike lane on Roosevelt Pier, so we came through that and I got off a bike and on the bike lane goes into the Northgate shop. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but it's that section.
Yeah.
Bill, question.
Yeah.
Do we have maintenance agreements with all of the jurisdictions for trail maintenance once they're built?
Everything in the SMART right of way is SMART's responsibility.
So we have to maintain. We have to maintain that.
Yep.
If it's on our property.
Yep.
Okay. And if not, it belongs to the local jurisdiction.
Yeah, we do have for example, through the Cal Park Tunnel and down into Larkspur there, that's being maintained by Marin County until we're up and running. The agreement was once we run passenger service, then there we'll take over that maintenance because the pathway isn't our right of way.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's good.
At the east edge of that station, or west edge of that station, it seems to me that there is a lot of potential for pedestrians that are on Merridale and south of the right-of-way to access that station. Is there any thought about providing them with a crossing at the station?
No. So at the south end of the station, kind of in the vicinity where the train is here.
Uh-huh.
Merridale dead ends on this side of our right-of-way and then resumes here.
Yeah.
So there, historically, there had been a pretty well-worn path of travel across the track.
Yeah.
We worked with the city and we carved out just a dirt path that runs under the freeway and it's actually worked really, really well. We've provided people with a path out to Civic Center Drive. And since then, and we've fenced it all to keep people out of the right-of-way. And initially, we had a couple tears in the fence. Since then, it's held up really well, and people seem to be utilizing that path. It's not paved, it's not a multi-use path, but it is a level footpath to get out to Civic Center Drive.
Yeah. So that people make a U-turn. They go out to the highway and then come back to the station.
Yeah. Depending on where they're going, but yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, no.
You're on.
No. Aaron, you're up next then for the annual report.
All right, I did a quick PowerPoint just to help acquaint you with the document. Some of you probably already read it, so I don't want to be too repetitive. So the annual report is to remind you, we have lots of reports to the public. The most technical financial document is our comprehensive annual financial report, which is what we discussed last time we were together. We also have the annual budget document, which goes into pretty extensive detail on how we're spending money and on what. We also have monthly general manager's reports. We have our website. We have lots of ways to inform the public. But this is a nice document because it kind of says what did we do last year, and it's nice because it synthesizes the year for the public in a way that that people who aren't used to government documents can read. So we distribute this pretty widely. We use it for SCTA and all of the groups that you guys are familiar with really like this document. We send it out to everybody to help us spread the word, the good word. And of course, this year, the biggest part of the report is focused on the startup of service. So the first few pages talk about our preview rides, our magnificent opening day, and then we have some statistics in there. I just have pulled a few out. There's more in the document about the number of 31-day passes that we've sold, that we sold between opening day and the end of December. So 2,371 31-day passes. We sold 450 Echo passes, which are the group discounts that we give to employers through the Clipper program. All of those are through the Clipper program, actually, as you know, the 31-day pass you loaded on your Clipper card. We had $1.38 million in fare revenue during that time. Also, then, as a result of the fire, which was a big disruption, only 6 weeks after we started service, we actually, as you know, were up and running pretty quickly. We ran for free for 2 weeks, but we also distributed business passes to try to get people to ride the train to go to Santa Rosa and spend their dollars generously. We also just handed out 3,000 free ride cards to people. These were Clipper cards that were loaded with unlimited rides through the end of the year. We handed all of those out, and we were pretty happy that people used those. We also detail in the document all of the work on getting the system ready. There was a lot between January and the start of service. There was a lot of, now that the hardcore infrastructure is in, there's a lot of little tweaks that need to be made. Things like putting in recycling bins, right, that may or may not have been there. I know Bill was involved in a lot of helping out with that and making sure the fare equipment was working and making sure that, you know, the passenger-facing things were there. So there's a lot of, even after we opened, and even today, we're still working on things like, are the maps adequate? Are the directions adequate? Is the signage adequate? We also detail our brand new rail cars, getting them up and running. The beginning of the year, you'll remember, we were delayed a little bit because of the engine issue we found, and we asked the manufacturer to fix it before we started, which led to some delays in startup. And then one of the interesting things about the rail vehicle is that one of our significant maintenance responsibility is the steel wheels that that run the trains have constant need to be reshaped and trued is the word, rail truing. So we are, it takes a lot of effort to stay on top of that and get the wheels off the train. We are right now have a partnership with Utah Transit. We send the wheels to Utah Transit to get them drew and get them back. And so that's all the wheels. It's a constant maintenance responsibility. And then during startup, you remember we had those preview rides, and as part of that, we made some modifications to the vehicles, particularly some ADA modifications that were needed. And then other things that were just more kind of this isn't working modifications, like putting in hand dryers instead of the towels, because the towels were running out and they were everywhere. And filling up the bin. You know, so little things that you just don't know until you get up and running and you get people on the train. And then finally, in order to get the train started, but there was a lot of work behind the scenes. There's just a lot of work that people don't see to get the trains up and running, and just getting the schedules correct and making sure we can meet the schedule, which we've been doing a pretty good job of. But in advance of startup, we had to do all that to make sure it was working. So the report talks through that and a bunch of other things that you see when you read it. We also just talk about all our work. You may have met our police chief, Jennifer Wells. She's done a great job coordinating all the law enforcement, all of the EMS, so that when there is an incident on the train, everybody knows what to do. There's a procedure, there's a process. You know, just getting ready for the things you hope never happen, but do happen. You know, she's been great, and this is just one picture of, we probably did 20 different exercises during the year. And then, as Bill mentioned, there's still a lot of capital project activity. Last year, the completion of the signal system was the biggest phase one activity, in addition to the pathways that Bill has
also.
Yeah. You may technically have been towards the end of the year, the beginning of the new year, but I thought it was a fun photo. And then another big focus, you have met Jeannie, our outreach, our communications manager. She did a great job getting the new website up and running. We worked together on getting the FAIR mobile app up and running. We also put Smart in the Nixel program, which is the text messaging service that I think anybody who rides the train, if you subscribe to it, you get the notices of when the train is late or if there's some emergency. It's been a great tool for us to communicate to riders, you know, even just minor delays. We've been using it for that. We also had our ambassador program kick off, where we had, you know, over 50 people helping people on the platforms, and we actually are still using them. We had planned for it to be a shorter duration, but it's proven to be so helpful that we are continuing to use some people on the weekends. Because right now, what we've found is that the regular riders have figured out the system. It's the weekend riders, the occasional, the people who still haven't used it yet, that's who we're helping with. We also had another great holiday toy drive that benefited, I think, the Sonoma Toys for Tots program. And then Jeannie also kicked off our advertising program, which I think is a certain bank who bought some significant advertising in our platform, so that's bringing in some...
Which bank was that?
I don't know, local bank, but I think it was Napa or... and then Jeannie is continuing to work on marketing campaign. We had a pre-launch marketing campaign that she worked on, and then we had a post-launch marketing campaign, and then now she's working on another campaign because, the goal is to grow the ridership. And this is just a picture of one of our ads on the back of a bus. I don't know if you saw any of those when you were out and about, but several times I wanted to pull out my camera while I was stuck behind a bus. And then at the back of the report is information that you have already seen because we went over the comprehensive annual financial report, but it's presented here in a little bit more user-friendly format, just a couple of nice pie charts. It includes, and what we've done is instead of presenting the data as if it were a audited financial statement, we present it as if it's a little bit more like a budget. It's just a narrative for people so that they can see, you know, what our revenues were, what our expenses are, what's driving our expenses, and it's just like previous annual reports. So that's just an example of what you'll find there. That's it.
Comments, questions?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, for second year in a row, the Grump reports. Measure Q, that's when we got our money on.
Mm-hmm.
It required that there be a community oversight committee, and for the second year in a row, the oversight committee is overlooked in here. And I'm not interested in our names, but at least it could have said the oversight committee has reviewed the da 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 da, so that we reassure the public that indeed there is a citizens oversight committee. I read the thing three times last night to see if I could find it. It's not there, and I think that assurance to the community should be provided in this report. For next year.
Excuse me, not to be argumentative, but isn't our role is to oversee the expenditure of the bond proceeds.
Right.
That was the reason, but one of the nominal reasons for the Citizens Oversight Committee. Also to advise and review and whatever the
strategic
plan.
Yeah.
We don't have a role in the other stuff, in the day-to-day operations.
No, we don't. But in the overall passage of the measure, there is an oversight committee, and that's one of the, I don't want to say tricks, but you put it in a ballot measure so that you reassure the public that there's a non-biased committee or non-biased group looking over the process. That's my
But there's specific, I cannot be, but there's specific things in that language in Measure Q that talks about the oversight committee that says what our role is.
Yeah.
And it says certain things, and it doesn't say other things. And
right.
So maybe what you're saying is the public is maybe generally thinking there's somebody doing it.
Yes.
Because we don't have a role or
obligation. We should admit to that there is an oversight committee. That's all I'm interested in. Yeah.
Comment noted. Yeah. Hold on. Any other questions? So I have a few that I'm going to go. First of all, I think the report's really well done. So I think it's great for someone who hasn't picked up and doesn't stay with SMART every week and see what goes on. I think it's a great report, a great summary, and a great read. At our last meeting, whenever we were going through the detailed audited financials, and at that point in time, it's too soon to talk about ridership. And so we said we'll follow up on that. And it has this summary of ridership here. What I'm not sure of, and I didn't go back to compare the original budgets from way back when, can you speak a little bit about to the budget of not only number of riders, but then also of revenue dollars? And I know we have a wildfire, I know we have other things in there. So if you can speak to those two opportunities, that'd be great.
Sure. And so my understanding of the ridership is that it's meeting what our expectations were in the early strategic plans and even the 2014 strategic plan. But what's interesting is the mix is heavier on the weekends than we thought it would be. So we're making those riderships, but it's more the mix is a little more on the weekend than we expected and a little less during the weekday. And so part of that is our challenge to figure out are there schedule shifts that we can do that increase the weekday ridership, because that's your bread and butter really is the commuters. As far as revenue goes, created and worked on the fair schedule that we brought to the board in advance of opening, our goal was to bring in about $4 million a year in fair revenue, and on a monthly basis, we seem to be doing that. So we hit the target pretty well with what we planned for. So now what we're doing and what I'm working on is now taking that revenue and plugging in the expenses and working on the budget, and we'll have more information in May when we present the budget on how that mix is working. So right now the revenues seem to be coming in, the ridership seems to be there, it seems to be growing, and we're studying the trends. You know, on rainy days it tends to be lower, on certain weeks it tends to be lower, but then again on holidays we were packed, right, during the holidays. It was crazy, my understanding is like Christmas and around that time. So it's interesting, and I think we'll get you, I'll email you some, so the general manager has been reporting that to the board as we go, so maybe I should compile that and send it to you.
Working right along with them, some of the things that is slowing down, I think, ridership is the non-development of the TODs. And the two TODs that are really the ones that I get hit upon all the time is the one in Santa Rosa and also in Petaluma. So if maybe in our next meeting that we could slate something to talk about where we're at in those, it is the desire of the greater community to have SMART out of the development business and into the running of a train business. That sentiment has been brought up numerous times, and the frustration in the Santa Rosa area is getting greater, especially with the housing issues that are going on.
Yes.
And so I just so noted, and if we can talk about that and bring that to maybe as it relates to our strategic plan, because that's what our mission is, that we could do that. That would be great.
I can give you an update just this week, or maybe last Friday or Monday. We released a new solicitation for the Santa Rosa property. As you know, we were in contract or in discussions. We had a sale contract with the developer that just didn't work out. Basically, they walked away. So we pulled together. We did a lot of meetings with developers to find out. Why is this talk to any developer, they will tell you the cost of construction right now and the lack of available labor is one of their, you know, take away, you know, permitting, take away CEQA challenges, all the things that get in the way of a developer. Those two things are making the economics of building, particularly rental housing, extremely difficult right now. So that's what they've been telling us. And so what we have done is, you know, we did two classic RFPs, joint development RFPs, the way most governments do, and both of them led to long periods of time with developers working and then the development fund, you know, for different reasons. So this time we're doing more of a straight solicitation. We've put all the documents that we have surrounding the property on our website, so the developers, it's like 1,000 pages of documents. Because mm-hmm. there's this perception mistakenly reported in the press that, you know, there's something wrong with the land or whatever, and there's nothing wrong with the land. The land is perfectly fine, it's perfectly developed. So we put all of that out there, and I think the time frame is they have 2 months to come back and give us a proposal, and then it's going to, you know, the goal is to bring it to the board and choose a developer. You know, very quickly. We're trying to turn it around very quickly, get a developer back on board very quickly. That's our goal for that property.
Just for clarification, because I've heard the other side very distinctly, and actually professionals have been working on the project, and they said there's still some items as relates to the title that are not cleared yet, and also some questions about some toxic issues.
And that's why we put all those documents online, because those documents answer every single one of those questions.
Perfect. So yeah. That has been addressed, because they're saying if SMART would only spend X amount of dollars, we'd resolve this, and they could have a complete package that can go to the public.
Yeah.
And so you're saying that's addressed. That's great news.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great news. And look forward to hearing that. And same with the Petaluma one. Hopefully we move that forward too. That would be great. Those other issues relative to housing are common, but I understand that there's actually quite a few developers that were interested in the Santa Rosa one, and Solar if they had a complete package. So
we had literally 15. We had 15 kind of informal meetings, just listening sessions to find out what they wanted, and so we hope we are proceeding in a way that works for them, and we'll see what we get back.
That sounds great.
As you know, in strategic land, we assume a certain amount of revenue from this property, so that's our goal, is to get that revenue and get out of the way so they can start building.
Sounds good. In the report, it talks about employment and everything else. How are we currently as the employment status, and are we fully staffed as it relates to that, and do we have adequate number of engineers to be able to operate your trains?
Right now, I think we're almost fully staffed. We have had more turnover than we would like. You know, people just, it's hard to live here, as you know, and especially people moving from afar, but we've increased for these critical positions that were hard to recruit and retain. Their salaries have been increased 2 or 3 times over the last 2 years as part of just our efforts to recruit people, and then as our union negotiations were
thought given to, I don't want to say a training school, but some way that we could move people to certification
right.
without them, in other words, we pay them to get certified.
Right. We've actually been working with Santa Rosa JC for about 3 years, knowing this problem was going to hit us, and they actually have started some classes related to at least engine mechanics, which is another hard to recruit position. They are still waiting. It's going to be some months before there's a an actual certification that they would get upon taking the classes. For some reason, that process is lagging, but the classes are starting, is my understanding. I don't know when.
And I think they're also working on a signaling
they're working
class,
on a
because that's another specialty technology that's hard.
So it would be like a firefighter certification.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, great.
Trade school.
Trade school, thank you.
Any other questions, comments?
I've got four.
Sure. Yep.
Where do we stand in the federal dollars that we're supposed to get in Larkspur?
So we have received two letters of no prejudice. So the way the FTA works is, to back up, the funding for Larkspur was allocated in the fiscal 16 budget by Congress. So the money's there. We don't have a grant yet that allows us to get reimbursed for money we spend. But what we do have are letters of no prejudice. So it's an assurance from the FTA that these tasks or this scope of work has been authorized. Once you have your grant, we'll authorize you for it. We're in the final stages of getting that grant approved and completed just the last congressional notification last week. So we're kind of in the final throes of actually getting the grant.
The project is from a cash flow perspective, which is all I care about. we are spending the other parts, other funding that we have for the project. For example, MTC provided us with $13 million, so we are using their money to progress the project. And then Anderson Drive is, of course, funded by San Rafael, so that's the work they're doing right now. So we feel like we're in good shape on that. The general manager is actually in D.C. right now. We're hoping he comes back with a check.
So just for my clarification, so I thought there was RM2 money that was involved in that last phase of about 20 million.
Yes, sorry, the MTC money is RM2.
Okay, all right.
A local match.
Yes. Oh, okay, great. Okay, so that's that. And then you're talking about some other.
The federal
money.
Brand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then with SB1 at risk, what does that mean in terms of dollar flows?
SB1 is very, very important to us, and I'm still working on what that would look like if SB1 goes away, and we'll be looking at that as part of our budget presentation in May. But we have approximately $3 million right now coming from SB1 that we're using towards, we knew it was coming so that when we did our schedule, we put out more runs than we could have afforded before we knew that money was coming. So it weaves its way into the STA program as well. There's some interlinkings there that mean the STA revenue that we are also counting on, would be reduced. So I'm working on that. If it goes away, for sure we have to redo service because we used it to put more service out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something we're looking at. It's critically important to us. Unless we're pretty good at solving problems, but that would be a really big one to have to solve for.
So I think it would be really helpful to the people that are campaigning against the referendum to make sure that SB1 stays in place.
So the board took an action already, a position to say we support the efforts to do the constitutional amendment, and then so the board has already taken that action, and that sort of allows us then to sign on to any efforts at fighting that. So yeah, we agree that that's super important for all of us.
My thinking is that for the people that are doing the publicity and the campaign to be able to say, if SB 1 goes away, we lose so many slots in the smart schedule.
Right.
And that's something that will be very visible to a lot of people and could swing a number of votes in terms of making sure that SB 1 stays in place.
Well, I think that whenever the campaign actually starts, they'll get all those things out there. So we still hope and pray that that doesn't make it the ballot. But once it gets to the ballot, I think that all those ugly things and all those warts are going to be shown as to what it could do and what it means in all the way through.
So
yeah,
smarts information could be instrumental. What about the bus bridges? We had one suicide that required a bus bridge. Have we had others? And how does the bus bridge work? I guess we don't call it a bus bridge, the one that goes up to Cloverdale. Is that getting much traction?
My understanding is the one up to Cloverdale hasn't had a ton of riders, and they're working with Sonoma County Transit to adjust the schedule if it hasn't been adjusted already, to try to figure out if that would help people use that bus bridge. So we're actively working on that because people don't really seem to be riding it. As far as emergency bus bridges, we worked really hard to have a network of providers available. Because you just don't know when you'll need it or how many. You could never need it, or you could need it a ton, right? So it's one of those many things at startup you're trying to plan for and you have no idea what to plan for, right? So we actually worked really hard. We have our head of procurement work to create a call list, including kind of costs and what it would entail. And so we have providers such as Pure Luxury, who has a lot of vans. We have Becoming Independent, who has a lot of vehicles. There's two or three others that we just have. The dispatchers have their names, their numbers, and it's a sort of a dispatcher-to-dispatcher conversation that happens. And so far, it has worked really, really well. We also have the transit providers, if they have people available. So we had one bus bridge right after we started where PG&E, there was a gas leak in San Rafael, and Golden Gate was able to send a bus right over from their yard, and we were able to get people out and running. So it seems to be working really well. We're really proud of how we set that network up, and it seems to be working. But it is a partnership between us and these providers who are willing to step up and help us out at a moment's notice, and we're really, really happy that their cooperation is allowing us to do that, because otherwise it would be a huge expense for us to actually just have that capacity for maybe someday you might need it, right? It's an interesting challenge for a small district. Most trains are part of bigger organizations that have buses, like SamTrans or, you know.
Yeah. Well, the press coverage after the suicide was really good. I mean, about the bus bridge being established right away. So glad to hear. Where are we in the Cloverdale part of the extension? There's, given the light ridership on the bus, how far along are we on what we'll do to get to Cloverdale?
Well, I think we are thinking of the road to Cloverdale, the train to Cloverdale, as being an incremental effort, right? We've tried to strategize and request funding for the whole thing as well as request funding for pieces, because you don't want to have, you know, perfect be the enemy of good, right? So what we've done is say, we want all this money, we're going to Cloverdale. We don't think the bus is indicative of what a train ridership would look like.
That's right.
So our commitment is to go to Cloverdale and to figure out how to do that. And I think next year when we work on the strategic plan, we'll talk through the possibilities of that. But in the meantime, what we've done start, so who knows. So anyway, we applied to the state for I think it's SB1 money, but it's also cap and trade money,
right,
the TRCA program. We applied for money to go to Windsor's, right, which would be 3 more miles. So I think that's going to be the successful route, is to do 3 miles, to try to break it up into chunks. And I think the decision is going to be made this month sometime on that. And we requested $50 million, right, Bill?
I wonder if for the next meeting, if I know that our mission is the strategic plan, and that's exactly where we're headed with this deal.
Yeah.
What I'd like to see is RM3 is coming up. It's going to be in June. We have $40 million that's at SMARTS. What does $40 million mean? Because in the promotion for the campaign, it says it's taking us to Healdsburg. Does $40 million take us from airport to Healdsburg? And so that was exactly my thought. No, it doesn't, but it appears on the RM3, it's $40 million and it gets us to Healdsburg. So what we need to do is to,
who says that?
Huh?
Who says that $40
million
is?
RM3. I hope I have it. Someone else have the glossy?
Yeah, there is $40 million in RM3.
And it says...
It's labeled as to get SMART to Healdsburg,
yeah,
but we know that the price tag just for the bridge itself is what, $30 million?
Yeah, we have to dust off those numbers. I mean, it's
yeah, but that's what's out to the public and what's going on, and then there's also the Tiger grants that was coming and going, and we didn't make it, but we're requested that, try again because you're really close, type of a situation. And then, of course, you got your federal start numbers. How do all those fit together? And I wonder if we can have maybe a preview. RM3 appears that it's going to go. And so if that's the case, what exactly is our plan? That's money that will start soon. And so rather than waiting to 2019 to come out with our strategic plan, can we, as a oversight committee or from you, get some kind of an idea? And so that's kind of what I'd like to see at our next meeting, if it's possible. Because we have those various funding sources, and I know that I don't think that I want to say that $40 million gets us to the roundabout that isn't finished yet. So we'll see what happens. So, So that's kind of would be a great thing. Any other comments? Anything else for the next meeting that we want to add?
May I have the public weigh in here?
Sure.
This is some valuable information. A couple of comments. Nixle notification from SMART. I subscribe to Nixle, no cost, but I only get messages from public safety. I don't get anything from SMART. How do I add SMART to my Nixle subscription?
You text the word SMART. I'll email you with it. It's probably on our website.
That'd be splendid.
You'd put a SMART into the box or something.
Yeah, you just text a certain number and put the word SMART in it, but I'll find out while you're...
All right. In order to not be a public nuisance, moving along, has SMART affected Golden Gate Transit bus ridership? Is there any numbers on that?
That's my knowledge.
Especially the
all I know is what I read about their recent study, which they didn't think that was an issue, that their ridership issues were all around traffic.
Right. I'm curious. So that tells me that when people out of their cars, not off the buses, as Mark Arnold used to say, you're only going to take people off the buses. But if Golden Gate Transit ridership has not declined significantly and SMART is carrying all these people, that tells me they're getting out of their cars, and that's what we want to hear.
Right.
Thirdly, Bill probably already knows this, but there is an annual, if not semi-annual, rail wheel interaction conference sponsored by American Association of American Railroads and American Society of Mechanical Engineers. thought about that when you were talking about wheel chewing, because that was a big issue early on, and they are studying it. It's not an all academic study conference, because academic commissions are there doing material science studies, what have you, but it's also the railroad industry is there, and it's very practical, and it's probably the reports are on the web, so if you're not aware of it, it might be something of use to you.
I'm not aware of it, but if you had a date, you could email me that.
Oh, I think they just had one, but
okay.
I'll send you what I can
find.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
And finally, ridership and your observation that ridership is meeting expectations, but I think that's marvelous considering we're only running the iOS, whereas the projections were for the full route.
Well, I'm just talking about the iOS projections that we did after we did the...
okay, so that was an update, not the original one. But
right.
Without Larkspur, I think it's marvelous that ridership is what it is. I would think, and I hear from people, that when they start going to Larkspur, I'm going to ride it. I'm going to ride it daily and hourly and what have you. So that's got to be a major contribution when it gets going.
All right. Any other comments?
Should any of us be saying anything to the California Transportation Commission when they have their meeting here?
If there's any,
I don't think so.
If there's any speaking points or anything else that you'd like to, you know, anyone to make, you know, get them out there and we'll see what we can do.
Okay.
I forgot one point, if I may be so bold. The old Sutter Hospital site in Santa Rosa, which is large, and Sutter Hospital vacated that, and the county's moving its offices out of there too. The county has sold that whole property, some say given that property to Gallagher, to build a big retail / residential complex. There's some opposition because people say Chenate Road isn't wide enough for the traffic to ensue. The point is, Shirley was very instrumental in getting that done. She said it's in the interest of the county to get this property into private hands and get development underway. I don't see that much proactive behavior by SMART. What about selling the property at a bargain price to make the developer come? Because it's in SMART's interest, it's in the, public interest to get that property developed. Is the price firm and fixed for selling the property?
Are you talking about the downtown Todd?
I started by saying...
I understand the Sutter one. I don't understand how the Sutter one fits together with the SMART property.
County has seen fit, because of the public interest, to offer that property at a bargain price.
Right.
And I'm saying, given that concept, is it also reasonable to talk about selling the downtown property at Railroad Square at a bargain price in order to get things rolling, because it's in the public interest? That's just an observation.
So noted. Any other comments?
I have a question.
Well,
yes, but
a different subject. Have you had much input from employers about kind of the last mile concept, which has been a challenge for us, for our bank, because we're not getting enough people to make it economic to, we had hired a chariot, and we had the bus 3 times a day going up and down. By rough calculations, it was costing us $80 per person per ride. A little bit too much.
Yeah.
So we've canceled Lyft. We've actually gone to Lyft and reimbursing people for Lyft or Uber to get to and fro. And we're finding people are also getting rides in the evening down to the train station in Hamilton. But is there any other good ideas out there? Because we haven't found any good ideas which are cost effective. Let's put it that way.
Furthermore, that I think that the buzz among big, large employers has died also, that it isn't there anymore as to how can we make this last mile work. I think that, you know, as to your outreach person, that's really, I would love to see a new campaign or a new revitalization of that whole concept, because as I talk to any of these larger employers, Medtronic to anywhere, the buzz is gone as to how do we help people get to the last mile.
We're finding that the there aren't that many big campuses of single employers. So you have a lot of buildings which are multiple employers. We have had no receptivity from the owner. We don't own the building we're in. We're 25% of the building. We went to our owner and said, you know, maybe you should provide it to everybody in the building. Yeah, no, we're not going to do that. No. Just flat no, I don't care. You can find it your own way, which is stunning to me, because you'd think that would be a good draw for the building because yep. There's open space, so I think the building. But
that can be, because again,
pressure points. I don't know what the pressure points are on the owners of properties in Marin County that we can put pressure on them to provide that transportation as part of the building service.
I do know there are a lot of discussions and meetings between that we try to stay involved in, particularly around SCTA and TAM, who are very strong at helping us with this effort with some of their ideas about maybe bike share could be one piece of it, and you know, they try to lift discount for a while. So I think, you know, it's probably not going to be one solution. It's going to be a bunch of different things, and we just kind of have to keep working at it. And it's Rome wasn't built in a day.
There you go.
Where will this be?
Cities for years have had off-street parking requirements. You can't build unless you provide lots of off-street parking. If cities shifted to say, you have to provide a third of the current off-street parking, but you have to provide a shuttle to SMART, that would make sense.
You know, in more dense urban areas like San Francisco, anybody who builds anything has to have, and they have a certain number of people, they have to have a transportation demand management plan as part of their sequoia. You know, it is kind of a best practice to require that of big developers.
All right.
Yeah.
Great meeting, great discussion. Nothing else. We'll adjourn the meeting. Thank you, everyone. Great job.